to your house, your home, your garden, your lawn, in the garden with Rosie on the house. John J. Harper and special guest Esme Avila of City of Avondale and a Water Use It Wisely campaign. Thank you both for joining us today. We have open lines. If you'd like to jump on board, now would be a great opportunity. 1-888-767-4348.
And this new publication by Water Use It Wisely, Find and Fix Leaks That Are Draining Your Budget. Some of the tips in it and availability.
The availability, you can call any of the water conservation offices and you can request it and we'll send it out to you, as long as as well as the landscape watering by the numbers and Xeriscape step-by-step guide. And it's easy. We're working on a web page, so we'll be able to have it on web and an app. So if you're mobile, you can have the booklet with you as you're going around checking for leaks.
And this one brings it indoors. Everything up to this point, not everything, but for the most part up to this point, a lot of the work has been outside because that's where most of our water is used or lost. Right. But this does bring it indoors.
Yes, this brings it indoors. And of course, there's some tips on the outdoor as well. But it'll go over through even swimming pools, spas, what to check for, toilets, you know, all your indoor appliances, you know, what to look for in your water supply side.
And the website,
WaterUseItWisely.com. And again, you can enter for the Celebrate Arizona Water Photo Contest.
Just take a picture of water somewhere in Arizona, send it in, and who knows, you may get a houseboat trip to Lake Powell this summer. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Pam in Litchfield. Good morning,
Hi.
Ma'am. What you working on? What's bugging you?
I actually have quite a few bugs that are bugging me. I have a hibiscus plant that has these little white cotton ball-like bugs on them. And they're located on the stems and in the joints of the plant. I've been spraying it with neem oil, but it doesn't seem to be helping. I was hoping you could tell me what they are and how to get rid of them.
Well, it sounds like mealybug. Okay, and they are white and fuzzy, and they kind of stack up on each other and looks like a mass of white if it gets really bad. And sometimes they can be dead, and they just don't go away too. So you might kind of scrape them off and see if they move at all. If you've been putting lots of neem oil would coat them, and it would kill them eventually. The problem with mealybug is they can be in nooks and crannies. I would check the pot. Is it in a pot?
Yes, it is.
Check under the rim of the pot. I've seen them, you know, get in lots of places that makes them really hard to kill. The other control you might consider for those is using a systemic insecticide granule.
And okay.
Put it in the pot in the soil and water it in. Then the plant will absorb that. And as they're sucking on the plant, they will die from that as well.
Okay.
So you're just going to have to keep on them. Mealybug are very, very hard to completely get rid of because they're on top of each other, so the ones underneath don't get sprayed. They're fuzzy, so they kind of repel some of the insecticide. They reproduce pretty rapidly.
The systemic takes about 6 weeks to work, though, right?
Probably. Yeah. I don't know that I would go strictly to that. I would keep using the neem oil. Is this plant inside or outside?
No, it's outside, but I have a lot of food-producing plants outside, and I didn't want to use anything that might migrate to those plants.
Well, if you use the systemic just in the pot, it really wouldn't get moved to the other plants. So it's not like you're spraying it and it could drift or get on the other plants.
Okay. And I also have a couple of blue plumbago plants.
Uh-huh.
And they're doing exceptionally well. But today when I went out to feed them and get them ready for the storm, make sure they weren't going to be broken by the storm, I noticed that on the backs of the leaves, they started, it kind of looks like they've been sprayed with a fine mist of white paint, really fine. And when I touched it, it's kind of powdery. Can you tell me what that is? It doesn't seem to be killing it.
It's on the underneath side of the leaf?
Underneath side, right. And it's actually on both plants.
Hmm.
And I watch these plants very closely because I really like them. And it has to have happened, I'm going to say, within the last 2 weeks, because I was working on them okay. 2 weeks ago and I didn't notice them then.
Well, it could actually be the eggs of something, you know, that have been laid there, and it may not be causing any damage to the plant at all. So I just kind of watch the plant and see if it doesn't suffer any repercussions due to it. It's probably not worth treating then. So just kind of keep your eye on it. Sounds like she's doing that anyway.
Y'all do see death by kindness a lot in the garden of people that are just maybe obsessing over their plants a little bit too much. But if she's super paranoid, wants to know, plastic bag, cut a piece in it, take it to Elgin's, right. Not far from Litchfield.
Right. Yeah. It always helps to bring samples in, you know, especially when you're describing something as a white. Looks like it's been painted with white spray paint underneath. You know, okay, that could be a lot of different things.
Appreciate the call. Let's see what John and Mesa is working on. Irrigation, kind of on our topic of water conservation.
Yeah, this is John and Mesa, and we recently moved into a house that has flood irrigation, and I'm trying to take advantage of that as a water source for growing as much things as I can.
Sure.
So I'm putting in fruit trees and, you know, berry trees, but I haven't found any good reference for, you know, how to grow plants in an irrigated property, and also trying to grow vegetables. I'm not sure if there's water frequently enough to just use the flood irrigation, or I have to hook up a drip system also.
Okay, well, great question. Most things with a flood irrigation, you know, you're going to get it about every 2 weeks, you know, 13, 14 days, something like that. Established mature plants like citrus and fruit trees like peaches and plums and those sorts of things, once they're mature and established, will be able to go that long in between waterings, because you're putting lots and lots of water on, sometimes as much as maybe a foot deep of water. New plantings, no, they will not. And vegetable gardens, you know, again, sometimes mature plants, once they're mature, might be able to go that long in between waterings, but certainly at the outset, they would need that. In other words, you know, a farmer's field of corn goes a couple weeks in between, you know, flood irrigation cycles. So it can work. Timing is usually an issue. You got to get stuff in before it gets too hot so that watering cycle is adequate to get them to the mature stage, so that then as it gets hotter, they're able to go longer between waterings. So a lot of it is just timing, and a lot of it is young trees. The mistake most people make with young citrus, young fruit trees, young shade trees, that first summer, they're just not going to go probably 13 days, 14 days in between waterings. You're going to have to water them in between, maybe a couple times in between, for at least the first summer.
It's unusual to see an irrigated lot that's not already built out. I mean, that's one of the great things about those irrigated lots that I love. You're moving into something that's, generally speaking, well-established, and you've got the big mature shade trees and produce. So maybe it's a unique find.
That and or you get the point where sometimes they've started to decline, so you have to start replacing some things because they've gotten too old. It's a nice problem to have, though. Flood irrigation is a very, very inexpensive way to water.
Let's talk mulberry trees with Tony. Welcome to the program, sir.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I got a couple of questions. Actually, one about mulberry tree. This year, the leaves, they seem to be curling up, and it's not making that many leaves on the tree. It looks kind of weak. Also, I have a lot of bugs in the yard, like slugs, especially that come out if I water the grass. And all you can hear is crunch, crunch, crunch when you walk on the grass.
Mm.
Plus, I have infestation. Looks like it's like small black bugs. My wife calls them black beans, but, you know, I kind of go, especially at night when the car with a flashlight. I mean, they're all over.
Okay.
What would be the best way to treat those? Because I have a pet. I have a dog that goes in the yard a lot of times, and he rolls around the grass a lot of times. You know, he's always, you know, outside.
Well, one thing you might try is using some DE, some diatomaceous earth, and scatter it around the areas. It's very effective on snails and slugs. As they kind of crawl across it, it just slices them up and they dehydrate and die. Little crawly beetles and things will walk across it. It'll get in their joints and nooks and crevices and that sort of thing. And it's pretty safe to use around animals. So that might be just the one thing you might try on that stuff. As far as the mulberry tree having not a lot of leaves, not as well leafed out as it should be. You know, that could be inadequate nutrients. You may need to fertilize it. You know, it could be that that tree is getting really old. They're a relatively short-lived tree, you know, 30, 40 years if it's an old mulberry. It's got to be almost that old. You haven't been able to plant a mulberry here since sometime in the late 70s or early 80s. So I would guess that it's every bit that old. So it could be, you know, getting towards the downhill cycle.
And you see a lot of times, I thought this was people just being lazy, cutting down mulberry trees. But they grow so vigorously on those old ones, they'll cut them all the way back and just let the shoots start over.
Yeah, but that does shorten the life of the tree because that is a very improper, damaging way to prune them. What happens is then they get sunburned because we cut the tree back too severely, and they get then sooty canker and other things develop in the trees. So to almost pollarding, what we call pollarding the tree, or stubbing them way back, and especially if you do it too early, is really a damaging way to treat your mulberries.
We appreciate the call. Good luck getting that established. Is that something
rejuvenated?
Rejuvenated. Is that start and grow? Is that?
I would use probably like tree and shrub food, organo or fertilome tree and shrub food on it. So
appreciate the call, Tony. We've got Rod who wants to talk about house flies, and PJ wants to talk about irrigation. And an open line for you at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Very windy outside today, so don't let that fool you. If you've got a great looking lawn that's weed free, the dust could easily bring in a new coat all ready to be germinated as soon as the monsoons hit. If you apply Bonite's Weed and Feed biannually, it'll keep your lawn looking great. It'll take care of over 200 types of weeds, dandelions, clover, creeping Charlie. And it'll keep your lawn looking great. It works four ways through the roots and shoots as a fertilizer and a weed killer. That's Bonite Weed and Feed. If you're in Lakeside area, Christopher's Garden carries it. For our Mesa residents, Treeland Nurseries are up in Flagstaff, Viola's Flower Garden. If anything for your weed control and your lawn fertilizer, make sure that's in your gardener's chest of tools, Bonite Weed and Feed.